May we stand for prayer. It has long been our custom to begin our meetings with this opening prayer. This morning, I have asked the recording secretary, Mrs. J.R. Lobaugh, to lead us in this prayer. Ms. Lobaugh.
Gracious Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who has come and died for our sins and arose again on the third day and is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us now. We thank you, our Father, for this great revelation. We realize that His Spirit has come to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and that His Spirit searches out the deep things of God. Our Father, we have come today for this tremendous experience, which we know will be ours, as you speak through these wonderful servants of thine. Bless this meeting with all heavenly blessings, our Father, and may it all be done to thy name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I shall be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, He maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. For thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Yet he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he'd done no violence, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. For by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He was numbered with the transgressors. He poured out his soul unto death and made intercession for the transgressors. And Peter said unto them, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Him hath God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that he should behold another. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover shall my flesh rest in hope. For thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, neither wilt thou leave my soul in hell. For thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, that his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. For David saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
You turn in your hymnal to number 11, Holy Ghost with Light Divine. Let us sing all four stanzas. We will remain seated as we sing.
Holy Ghost.
to number 20, please. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Let us stand as we sing.
As Mr. Lane leads us in this next song, it occurs to us that those of you in this section of the balcony, from old way over in here to the center portion of the balcony, may not be able to see our entire stage. You are going to miss some of the most meaningful presentation this morning if you have a seat over in this section of the balcony and your view of the entire stage is obstructed. It may be that during this hymn, you will want to slip over into this section. Thank you.
The number is 20. The hymn is "Oh for a Thousand Tongues." A thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all abroad the honors of Thy name. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood availed for me. Will you be seated? Now turn to number 5 in your songbook. We will sing the first and the third stanzas, "Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me."
Holy Spirit. As a home missionary to the migrants, the prayer calendar has meant much to me. Each year it's our responsibility to travel a great deal. And it's been that each year at my birthday on June the 28th, I have either been going to an encampment or I have been coming home from an encampment. And so safety on the road has meant a great deal to me. Last year, as camp time came, our family was in Pecos, Texas. And one Monday morning, or Sunday morning, I was to get on the bus very early in the morning, along about 6, and would be traveling all day long. As Sunday morning came, I was very ill that morning, and I had decided that I didn't know whether I was going to be able to make that trip or even to make that encampment. As I rose early in the morning and my husband and I discussed whether I was going to be able to travel or not, he said, "You remember today that there are those who are praying for you." And he said, "I feel like the Lord will provide the strength and cure the illness so that you can go on to your camp." And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, he put me on the bus, and I still felt like I didn't know whether I was going to make it to the next town or not even. And yet it was. By the time I had gone just a little ways, I began to feel a lot better. And by the time I had gone down the road quite some ways, I was feeling quite a bit better. And not only was there strength given, but there was opportunities of witnessing. On the trip, I was able to talk to a Latin American lady, gave her a Spanish Bible to take back to Mexico for she was visiting here in the United States. Talked to a teenage girl about some of her problems, and gave out several tracts as I rode on the bus that day. Prayer was the beginning of strength for me that week, and it was because you prayed. It meant so much. It meant the beginning of a glorious week at Brownwood Encampment, and it was a wonderful place for us to be and to be able to give a witness that week. Many were saved. Many surrendered for mission work. And I want to say thank you for praying for me. As we think today, we want to remember those on our prayer calendar for today. Mr. J. W. Nelson, who is a missionary among the Indians in New Mexico. Mrs. J. F. Potter, who is a missionary among the deaf in North Carolina. Shall we bow our heads in prayer today, remembering these? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the privilege of prayer and how it stretches over the miles to come to the place where it is needed. And so today we would pray for those, Brother Nelson and Mrs. Potter, that thou might fill their every needs, a spiritual lift, physical needs, the wisdom to solve the many problems in their work. We pray for these this day. And then, Father, as we come to this great and glorious meeting, we would ask thy richest blessings upon our convention and leaders and speakers on this program. We pray, Father, for an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be lifted, and that this will be a meeting that we will go away from saying, "It has been good to be here." We pray, Father, that today thou wilt stir our hearts to the lost around us, to our needy friends, to our friends who speak another language, and to our friends who gather our crops. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be a witness to these in our community. And we'd also pray, Lord, that thou would make us aware of thy presence in these days, that here in our meeting, in our hotels, in the restaurants where we'll be eating, that wherever we shall be this day here in Dallas, that thou shalt guide us and direct us, and that most of all, Father, that thy presence shall be known in this city today because we are here and because we are thy witnesses, we ask, Father, that we might be lifted and strengthened for the work that is our task in our country. We ask all of these things, Father, in Jesus' name, that our country might know thy word. Amen.
The theme of our worship services each session is this theme, by Spirit and the Word. Each worship service will begin as the Southwestern Singers will come to bless our hearts with their music, directed by Mr. Robert Burton of the faculty of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. The music director during these services will be Mr. Thomas P. Lane, better known to us as Tommy Lane. He has directed our music before, and we welcome him. Mr. Lane is the minister of music of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. During the sessions of the Southern Baptist Convention, he will have that lovely nurses' choir, the Nightingales, singing during those sessions. Our organist for our meeting is Miss Beatrice Collins, professor of organ at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and the soloist, Miss Ramona Goff, teacher of voice at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Each session, Dr. Paul Brooks Leith will bring our scripture. Dr. Leith is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fresno, California, a graduate of Baylor, of Southwestern, and of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, a student of the Word and an interpreter of the Word to our hearts. Today in prayer will be brought each session by a different missionary, bringing to us a prayer testimony and leading us in prayer. These missionaries will represent the different areas of our mission work throughout the world. This morning, Mrs. Lester Vinson, a home missionary, has directed this prayer period. Ms. Vinson and her husband work among the migrants. They have been in home mission service for 3 years, before that time working among Mexican and Anglo churches. Ms. Vinson is a homemaker with 2 children, and as she goes around from place to place, camp to camp, she emphasizes to the churches and to the WMUs our responsibility in seeking those migrants and working among those near us. Our program assistants, I want you to see. So I'm going to ask Mrs. R.L. Mathis to come here to the platform and Mrs. Ned P. King. Ms. Mathis of our WMU staff, the Promotion Division Director. Ms. Mathis, if you'll come out. And Mrs. Ned P. King of Dallas. And they are assisted by the WMU staff. Certainly we express our great appreciation to them for their wonderful help, creativity of ideas, and dedication during these days. I will appoint at this time Ms. Eula Mae Henderson of Texas as timekeeper. And on the platform with us this morning, our GA page, Ms. Donna Phipps. From time to time, we will introduce other pages, GAs, to you from some of the churches in this association. You will note on your program that each day we will have, each session, we will have a closing meditation. We will remain seated during this closing meditation, and we will be in prayer during this time as we lift our eyes and our hearts, and as we listen to the harpist, Miss Julia Louise Herman, harpist with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. And we have much to pray about during these days. And I hope that we shall truly make this a time of prayer, even as many times we lift our eyes to a beautiful sunset and look at that sunset with eyes wide open and pray to a living God. We shall have this same spirit as we look and listen to this harp music in the conclusion of each of our sessions. Now then, the time has come for organization, and I recognize the Executive Secretary, Ms. Alma Hunt.
Madam President, I move that the WMU members attending this annual meeting be recognized as constituting the organization, and that the printed program in their hands with any necessary changes be the order of business.
You have heard this motion on the organization of our meeting and upon the printed program in your hands. Those favoring the motion will let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, no, and it is so ordered. We certainly want to recognize and express our very great appreciation to our hostess committee, the general chairman, Mrs. Lewis Hodges, the associational president of Dallas County WMU. With all of our hearts, we say thank you for all of the prayer and the planning and the preparation that has gone into this meeting. As I came into the auditorium a little while ago, I overheard some woman from the deep, deep South wanting to buy from one of these ushers her hat. Now, I don't know if that's just because women love hats, or if she had a legitimate reason, a 5-year-old grandson at home, maybe, that she wanted to take that hat to. We thank you, Ms. Hodges, and ask you to present your chairman at this time.
The psalmist reminds us that it's good to come into the house of the Lord, and we hope you've been reminded already this morning that it's good to have you here in Dallas for this meeting that we have anticipated for many months. Many hands make light work, and surely we've had many to help us as we have planned and prepared for your attending this meeting today. We are calling only the names of our chairman, but all of the officers of Dallas Association have served in some capacity, and many of them in dual capacities. Mrs. Dan F. McGee, ushers chairman. And I know you have already received a great big howdy from these 10-gallon hats as you have approached this place. Catherine Eddins, publicity chairman. Mrs. P.A. Voss, hospitality chairman. Mrs. W.E. McCarter, Jr., social. Mrs. Charles F. Humphrey, courtesy chairman. Mrs. Rayburn Floyd, and I believe she was unable to be with us today, has served as our signs chairman. Mrs. R.B. Cooper, Jr., pages. Mrs. Robert Walker, information chairman. During these days, we hope we can be of service to you, that your visit in our city will be one that will be long remembered and cherished, and a very profitable one for you.
I recognize our recording secretary, Mrs. J.R. Lowball.
From the bylaws of Women's Missionary Union, SBC, I would like to read Article 6, Section 1 and 2, Nominations and Elections. The nominating committee shall be composed of Women's Missionary Union presidents from states qualifying for representation on boards and committees. The executive secretaries or elected department directors shall serve as alternates. The committee shall nominate a candidate for each office to be filled at the next annual meeting. Section 2. During the first business session of the annual meeting, the recording secretary shall call a meeting of the nominating committee for the election of a chairman, a co-chairman, and a secretary. This meeting will be upon adjournment of the afternoon session on the third floor, across from the first aid room, and it will be the door on the right side of the elevator. There is no name on this door, but it's a large room just at the right when you get off of the elevator.
Miss Alma Hunt, our executive secretary, will make some announcements.
I could hear people behind me saying, "Oh my, how will they ever find the room?" Now, if you're as confused about this auditorium as I am, and I've been here for days, you have a lot to learn about it. And that room that Mrs. Lobaugh is talking about is not on this floor. Does that help? But if you go out on this level, you go up. No matter which door you go out, just go up. The first place you come, that you can go up. And when you go up, you will find the room over here across from the first aid room. Now, don't make a mistake and go in the first aid room unless you need to go in the first aid room. But go in the room across from the first aid room. This nominating committee is made up of state presidents, and I believe they are smart enough to find that. What do you think? Well, speaking of presidents, we are mindful always at the opening of our annual meeting of those who have presided in other years, as we are always in prayer for the one who is presiding in the current annual meeting. This morning, as I looked out, I thought of those who have presided in other years who are thinking of us this day. Mrs. R.L. Mathis has already been presented to you as a program assistant, and of course you recognize that she is the immediate past president. But there are two presidents who are not with us, not able to be with us, and surely I think from this body we would like to send greetings to Mrs. George R. Martin of Norfolk, Virginia, and to Mrs. W. J. Cox of Memphis, Tennessee. Madam President, I presume that we can ask the Secretary to send these messages in behalf of this body. Now, the Executive Board decided that we all ought to know who's here. And it's mighty hard with a group so large as this. I whispered to Mrs. Fling this morning and said, "What in the world is going to happen when the convention opens, when we have this many people in the auditorium for the WMU annual meeting? I wish all of you could be where I am and see just how many people are here. And I welcome every one of you." As our board discussed the matter of having badges, we realized that you could not find your own state badges in a group so large as this, and really it's hard to get badges given to you. But we decided there was some merit if everybody had on a badge, that so as you walk down the streets and see people, you'll know whether this woman is a part of the WMU annual meeting, and you will greet her. And if she doesn't have on a badge, you'll know that she just belongs here and isn't the Baptist, and therefore you don't greet her unless you just want to greet everybody you see. Now, the two tables have been set up at the front. And by the front, I mean right off of the Ackard Street entrance, directly opposite my nose, right out that way. There are two tables and signs by them that say free. I thought that would attract your attention. If it said free, free, name badges or name tags, I believe it says, and missionary ribbons. Now, if you did not get a name tag as you came in, please, as you leave the building, go get one and write your name large. Now, we practiced on these before we ordered them to see that it's large enough for those of us who have to wear glasses to know who you are without putting on the bifocals. So write your name large. I believe there's room for you to write your state, because somebody who can see well might like to know where you're from. Now, missionary ribbons, of course, are for missionaries only. And if you, as a missionary here today, did not get your ribbon, will you go to those same tables that has the free sign over it? Pick up your red satin ribbon, which says missionary. Now, we put these on the missionaries so that all of you will recognize the missionaries, both home and foreign, as you see them. We have a reserved section here at the front for missionaries, program personnel, our board people, and the denominational leaders. Now, if you want to find one of these missionaries, the best thing for you to do is to rush down here at the close of the session and look in these front seats and find the people with the red badges on. They will be here. You were given programs as you came in today. When you leave today and come back after lunch, the people will still be there with programs. Don't please reach out your hand and take another program if you have one. But if you have your program, look as you come into the afternoon session for the ushers who will be handing out the executive board reports. These will be distributed this afternoon and voted on tomorrow morning. In every other seat in the auditorium, supposedly, there was a little song book today, these that we are using in our song services. These are given to us by the Sunday School Board, though the convention maybe provides these. We ask you to keep them and use them through the convention sessions. For the thousands that have been put in the seats for us are a part of the total allotment for the convention. We ask that you not send personal notices of any kind to the platform to be read. We cannot read notices here, announcements here, unless they are emergency announcements. But you may check by the information desk in the main foyer for personal notes. You may leave notes there. You check there for lost articles. You take there things that you find. There's a bulletin board there for information for you. The nursery is available at the First Baptist Church, and that information is posted also in the foyer if you have a child and desire that. The bookstore is in the exhibit area below us here. The bulletin board in the front foyer. The first aid room, one level up. Those of you who are in the loges, the balconies, you are on the level with the first aid room. Those of you on the main floor, if you need the first aid room, you just go up and walk around and you will find first aid on the door. I read that there are free buses available from the main hotels downtown to this auditorium. I didn't find one this morning, but I really didn't look very hard. So will you look for the buses that will be labeled, which will bring you from the downtown areas to this arena? Realizing or recognizing last week as we worked here how crowded the eating places are in this vicinity, arrangements have been made for food to be served in the building to those of you who desire it. On the level below this arena is the exhibit area. On that lower level, under the theater, now you'll see signs that say theater. Under the theater, food will be sold today, Texas style, by the man who is President Johnson's barbecue, in case you want some of the president's barbecue. Or if you prefer chicken, he'll have chicken. He can seat 1,500 at a time, and the plate lunch will be hot and will sell for $1.50. The other announcements, I think, can best come at a later time. But under the heading of announcements, I am going to take advantage of the chair and do something that I just want to do. Last year, this time in Atlantic City, I had the privilege of having my mother in the annual meeting, and I shall never forget what that meeting meant to her and the kindness of our president to her at that time. This year, we have in this meeting the mother of our president. Mrs. Fling's mother is Mrs. H.R. Long of Sulphur Springs, Texas. I cannot find her, but wherever you are, Mrs. Long, will you stand? The mother of Mrs. Fling is here in the center section, and with her, I hope, is her daughter, Mrs. Fling's sister, Mrs. Paul Corley. Mrs. Corley, will you stand? We welcome you into this annual meeting. For we are so grateful to the family for what you have given to Women's Missionary Union in our president. If the Reverend Ed Jackson is in the auditorium, will you call Operator 6 at Savannah, Illinois?
Last December, Ms. Hunt, Ms. Mathis, and I, along with Ms. Bernice Elliott, other members of our staff, went to a very thrilling meeting in Atlantic, Georgia. In Atlanta, there we were present for the meeting of the Home Mission Board. In one way, there was a note of sadness, for it was the meeting in which Dr. Courts Redford retired. And yet, a very worthy and wonderful successor had been named previously and was ready to take charge at that meeting, Dr. Arthur B. Rutledge. As we came home to our hotel room that night, we talked late in the night about this meeting today, and we were all of agreement that we would want Dr. Rutledge to come and to present this feature for us, this presentation of the Home Mission Board. We wanted him not only because he was the new executive secretary of the Home Mission Board, so ably fitted for this work, prepared by God for it through his years of service in various fields, but particularly with the Home Mission Board as director of that great missions division. How else could God better prepare a man for a service? But we wanted him also because we saw some new trends in the Home Mission program.
We saw new patterns in contemporary world missions. We are grateful to these new staff members and to the Home Mission Board for alerting us, for helping us get ready for these days that lie ahead of us. In fact, these days into which we are already plunged as we prepare for home missions for a new age. And so, Dr. Rutledge, as you come this morning in your very first presentation to us, and as you present some of your new co-workers, we pledge you our love and our support. And more important, our prayers as you carry the heavy responsibilities so happily that lie before you. Dr. Arthur Rutledge.
Mrs. Fling, Ms. Hunt, and fellow workers in missions, let me take a moment here, since this is my first opportunity to appear before you since being asked to assume this new responsibility, and express to you my personal appreciation for all of the encouragement that Women's Missionary Union, in various parts and in all parts of our nation, has supplied already. We thank you for the support that you give in prayer. We're grateful for the support that you provide in missionary education. And we're grateful for the support you provide in contributions through the cooperative program and through the Annie Armstrong offering. We ask your continued prayers as we try, under the leadership of God, to serve in this new age that is emerging. I think you would be interested in knowing the latest report on the 1965 Annie Armstrong offering. It is still a bit early to predict on this basis where we think the final figure will be, but as of May 18th, 13 days ago, when the last check was received, the total had come to $2,091,909.96, so just above $2 million. This is well above the figure at a comparable period a year ago. It is slightly above the figure of 2 years ago. This simply indicates that the checks come in at different times from the different states, so it's a little bit hard to conclude anything simply on the basis of comparative figures at a given date. But we're grateful for the significant help provided through the Annie Armstrong offering as through the basic line of support, which is the cooperative program. Let me invite you, if you can be here through Wednesday, and we hope that all of you can, to visit the Home Mission Board reception, which will be held on Wednesday afternoon. That time you will have opportunity to meet many of the missionaries. The reception will be held in the Baker Hotel, the Terrace Room, beginning at 3 o'clock, from 3 until 5 o'clock. I think many of you also would like to have a word about our missionaries in Cuba. As I think all of you know, on April 8, a number of our missionaries were arrested. Included were Dr. Herbert Caudill, who has served in Cuba for 35 years and is director of our work there. Also, Brother David Feit, son-in-law of the Caudills. Now, after some 6 weeks, they underwent trial. Then on last Friday, the announcement was made and conveyed to us by our State Department that Dr. Caudill would receive a sentence of 10 years in prison and Mr. Feit a sentence of 6 years in prison. Along with Dr. Caudill and Mr. Feit, there was a considerable number of Cubans also jailed, a total of 53. Four of these are Cuban women. Of the 53, 34 were tried. We don't know about the other 19. And we don't know what sentence will be meted to the 32 Cubans who stood trial along with Dr. Caudill and Mr. Feit. We are in constant touch with the State Department of our government. They have rendered outstanding service. Our government State Department is in constant touch with the Swiss Embassy in Havana, which is representing our government there. We are most pleased with the service they have rendered. We can assure you that your board, working with our government officials, will continue to do as we have been doing everything possible for the safety, and we pray the ultimate release of these, our missionaries. We have had to be careful lest in trying to seek any special favors for the Caudles and the Fights, we might jeopardize the well-being of our Cuban missionaries and Cuban fellow Christians. This is a time to remember our fellow Baptists in Cuba in prayer. Particularly, let us remember these in prison. Remember their families. On Friday, our Dr. Corder had an extended telephone conversation with Mrs. Caudle. She stated they are well, their needs are being met, and they are safe. They are able to visit. Mrs. Caudle and Mrs. Fite are able to visit their husbands once a month. They are able to take food to their husbands twice a month. And you will remember these wives and the children of the Fites. And you'll remember the loved ones here in this country as you will remember these who are in jail for the sake of the gospel. It sounds like some of the things that happened in the days of the New Testament. So you'll continue to pray, and I think these, our fellow Christians in Cuba, would want us to pray that whatever may happen may redound to the furtherance of the gospel. But our attention in this period is not to be given to our work in these Caribbean countries where we have the privilege of serving. Rather, we're to think about missions in the homeland for a new age. A century ago, A. Cleveland Cox penned these inspiring lines, which we find in our hymn books. We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on ages telling. To be living is sublime. If the 19th century was a time of influence upon future ages, how much more true is this day and this two-thirds point in the 20th century to have its effect upon the ages to come. We're extremely aware of a highly accelerated pace, of exciting changes, and of disturbing trends in our society. Southern Baptist Home Missions begins with the convention's organizational meeting in Augusta, Georgia in 1845. From that day until this, Southern Baptists have tried to discharge in some worthy measure their obligation to share the gospel around the world through two mission boards, one to serve overseas, one to serve in the homeland. Today, you are serving through your home mission board more extensively than ever before, in a wider variety of ministries, and through more missionaries than ever in the past. Southern Baptist Home Missions now touches all 50 states, plus Panama and Cuba and Puerto Rico. Mission efforts focus upon cities and rural areas, upon blossoming suburban communities and blighted downtown inner sections of our cities, upon persons of many races and of non-Christian faiths. Across this nation, more than 2,000 missionaries represent you and me. Most of them are supported jointly by the Home Mission Board and one of the state conventions. They share the gospel with young and old, with cultured and uncultured. As we consider the circumstances in which Home Missions is carried on today, we can agree with the planners of this program that we're living in a new age. As we consider some of the marks of this new age, there are three I should like particularly to call to your attention. One of them is secularization. Another is urbanization, and the other is population. Secularism may be defined as the ordering of life without reference to God. This would seem to be the philosophy of the majority of our fellow Americans. Dean Samuel H. Miller of Harvard University recently wrote, "The secular age has come. On all sides, it proclaims itself frankly, proudly, even a bit boisterously. The world operates very well."